makes a move and he scores! Jonathan Huberdeau! And he scores! Alexander Barkov! What a move! He's giving the Panthers the lead once again!
Welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. Here are your hosts, Jamison Olive and Doug Plakins.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. We thank you very much for being on board with us, whether you've been tuned in for years or weeks, or if this is your first time tuning in, we welcome you aboard. You can find Territory Talk wherever you find your favorite podcast. So once again, thanks for making Territory Talk a part of your listening week. Normally, it's two people talking territory, but today it's three people talking territory. That's right. We've got a special guest, correspondent, friend of the program joining us here. In addition to myself, Doug Plakins, Jamison Olive, who all you Jamison Olive fans have come to know and love. We've got Katie Gaws here with us as well. Hey, the season starts this week. The NHL season, the Panthers season. We've got games, regular season games to talk about later in the week. Of course, the Panthers open up the season coming up on Thursday night. That's the 14th of this month, October, in the year of 2021. They will play the Pittsburgh Penguins at FLA Live Arena to kick off the season. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK as always to get your tickets. 7 o'clock Thursday, Panthers-Penguins. 6 o'clock Saturday, Panthers and the Islanders. So some stiff competition right out of the gate for the Panthers. Two home games to start the year. How in the heck are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy Katie's here. I'm really excited for hockey to come back. Panthers-Pens, that's going to be a wild game on Thursday. I think the Panthers, you know, from what we picked up from the guys throughout training camp, they're going to come flying out in that game. They're so ready to get going. Because let's not forget, training camp's been about a month, but all these guys were skating here about a month before that. They've been building this up for a long, long time. They're ready to explode. It's going to be a great game. And then when I was doing kind of the Cats forecast, the weekly look ahead for this week, it hit me that that game against the Islanders is actually a revenge game. They have not seen the Islanders since the bubble.
It's been a while.
Because they didn't play at all last year. I doubt any of them remember that, and there's probably going to be no animosity, but I remember, and that's just crazy. It's crazy that we haven't seen either of these teams in over a year, because we didn't play the Penguins last year either. So I'm just excited to broaden our horizons once again and play the rest of the league.
And we've got a lot coming up here on this episode of Territory Talk, by the way. We've got a great conversation coming your way shortly with Panthers general manager Bill Zito. So we had a chance to chat with him, and we are going to have that coming up here in just a few moments. And then we've got predictions to get to for the season.
And that's why Katie's here.
And that's why Katie's here. She's part of the prediction committee. And we're going to get to those coming up later in the show. And we aren't just going to do the predictions for this year. We might even reflect back to a couple of predictions from last year. We'll see how things played out. But Katie, I know you've been looking forward to the start of this new season. And in the chatter that we've had with the players, everybody's always excited for a new season. But I think excited is an understatement going into this season. The guys know what they're capable of, and you could tell, you could sense the second last season ended when that playoff series against the Lightning came to a close. The guys would have been ready for the next season to start 48 hours later.
Yeah.
But here we finally are ready for the new season.
Yeah, I think, we've been doing this for a while, but for some reason this preseason felt longer, and I think it is just because of how much anticipation there is around the regular season, around ultimately getting back to where they left off, right? I mean, they want to fast forward and crush this season because ultimately it's about the playoffs. It's about getting back to where they left off and finishing what they started, and I think that's where the excitement really takes, another step to a higher level. And, we've talked to all the guys about it, how, they feel they really were, had something good going. And now they're all back. Let's do it again, but let's make it better. And I think that's what we're going to see, right out of the gate.
So Territory Talk, as always, presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Mentioned it off the top, Panthers-Penguins Thursday night at 7, Panthers-Islanders Saturday night at 6. The first two games of the regular season, both at FLA Live Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK, the number to call to get your tickets. And they'll make sure that you're all set up, whether you want to go to one game or all the games by yourself or with all your friends. We can set something up.
I haven't heard that in so long.
That works for you. And that's the way we do it.
That was your catchphrase for a long time, though, and I've not heard it in a while.
I just decided to bring it back.
Bring it back.
Spur
like
of the
it.
Moment. People wonder if there's show prep. There is show prep.
That's sometimes exciting. That's exciting all by itself.
That was on the fly.
A couple of OG great. Territory Talk fans just lit up. Like, yeah. Oh, he said it. He said the thing.
Hey, and if you missed it, you could rewind because it's a podcast. You could,
say it again.
But whether you want to go to one game or all the games by yourself or with all your friends, call us up at 954-835-PUCK, and we can sort something out that works for you and hopefully all those friends that you're going to bring with you.
But I like that you included by yourself, because there are some people like
I've gone
me
to
that
big
just don't
events
have anybody
by
for
myself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic. I actually enjoy it sometimes.
I've been to the Warped Tour by myself a lot.
And I will say, no one actually goes to Panthers games by themselves, because the moment you get here, you got friends.
We're family here.
Oh, yeah. It's a crew.
You find,
it's for sure
you find
a crew.
Peeps to hang out with.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
And if you can't, just look around. There'll be somebody to hang out with. You can find somebody. Or me, Katie,
You're
Jameson.
Never alone when you're watching good hockey.
Come hang with us.
Yeah. Tune your handheld radio to 107.1. Listen to Bill Lindsay and I. Oh, we are going to get into our conversation now. That's the real reason that a lot of you folks are tuned into Territory Talk today. We had a chance to sit down with Panthers general manager Bill Zito. Great chat here to get his senses, his feelings as we head into the campaign, cover a lot of different stuff with the Panthers general manager. You don't want to miss a second of it, and we're going to throw to it right now. All right, well, Bill, first, thanks for stopping by here today. Excited to have you, and I know we're all excited for the new season. And when you look ahead here to the new season, how much of the excitement comes from the fact that you had a lot of guys last season that were in their first seasons here in South Florida, and now there's a group that has a lot of familiarity together, and they saw what they could accomplish last year. And again, that just has to do wonders for the excitement going into the season here.
Yeah, it does, because it's easier to plan. You know, we've added some expectations to some of the guys that we might have had question marks on a year ago. And in tandem with the expectations, there's maybe some hopes and some stretches. Oh, could he do this? Could he do that? And a couple of guys, Owen Tippett has just looked outstanding in training camp. So you get maybe even a little bit ahead of yourself, right? And so that makes it even a little more exciting, to use your words. So, excited and really looking forward to seeing what we have. Perhaps the biggest thing is the team aspect, where we're starting to get the feeling that the group is gelling. Because we have a lot of returning players, that team is continuing to evolve and grow and gel. So I think that's maybe the most significant factor of all.
And Bill, at this time of the year, you spend the whole offseason making deals. You have the draft, you have free agency, re-signings. Obviously, the Barkov news recently, we'll get to that in a bit. But once the season starts, how much do you enjoy just watching the product on the ice and just seeing how everything does fit together, how it gels, like you were talking about?
I mean, that's the gift of being able to work in this industry, right? I mean, as a little boy, you love to play and you love to watch. And then as a big boy, you get to watch hockey for your job. So it's difficult to even put into words the real luxury that we all enjoy being able to work in this industry for our job every single day. And we don't take it for granted. And I can tell you that we frequently laugh that we're able to do this, and we're very grateful and appreciative that we're able to do this for a job. And it is hard work, but it's a labor of love for sure. And it's I love watching hockey. I can tell you that.
And when you talk about the group coming together, we've talked about it a lot. It seems like you've got a group here that not only is collectively talented, but that genuinely enjoys being around each other. And just from your perspective, when you're evaluating a player, so many great athletes out there, but how much do you look at the intangibles, the character, the things like that that a guy can bring to the table, aside from the pure hockey skill?
It's a significant part of any examination of a player, you know, when you're looking to acquire. It's vital that player can join the group and make it better. So yeah, it's like a family.
On that, you talk about a family, you talk about building this team. Just how exciting was it when you did make so many moves last season and so many of them worked out that you seemed to, you know, build kind of a new core here to go along with the established stars in, you know, one season basically?
Well, obviously we had some success, and it was nice It was nice to see it come together. I think we still have a lot of work to do. And we have to be very, very careful not to accept that, you know, a little bit of success was a lot of success, because it wasn't.
Right.
We need to continue to get better. We need to keep working harder. It's going to be far more difficult this season. The challenges are greater, and the responsibilities are greater, and we have to be ready for the task. So our work has just begun.
We talk about that, and you talk about talking to the players. I think, at least from what we see and what we heard from players, Patrick Hornquist was a big part of, you know, hammering that home each and every day. Did you expect him to be kind of the force he has been in the locker room when you brought him over last year?
Well, I had a luxury of having had to see Patrick Hornquist year in and year out in the same division, Columbus and Pittsburgh, for 7 years. So we had some familiarity with Patrick. And he's a warrior, he's a champion, and he's a wonderful, wonderful teammate and human being.
Going from talking about one veteran to another, and we just talked about him a little bit in the presser there, but you already get a sense here that Joe Thornton's made an incredible impact on his new teammates in a pretty short period of time, and guys all talk about how they've watched him for years, whether it's been as a peer of his in the league or going back to when they were just a fan of the sport, watching the game growing up. It's fun to see. Do you get that sense, too? It's fun to see these guys get to know him as a teammate.
It is. It is, and it's fun just to have him around, because he's almost a celebration of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He has endless enthusiasm for the game. He's like a walking encyclopedia of hockey through his own experience playing. His on-ice skill, the things that he does, the things that he can teach or share. And it's not like he walks around like, let me teach you this. But when people ask him questions, or he'll see, and then he can just talk. I've gone to him and said, hey, listen, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? So his presence, his enthusiasm. When you couple that with all that, you know, Joe Thornton, the entity, is, it's one thing. Then there's Joe Thornton, the person, who's this kind, fun, presence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's powerful. It's really powerful.
Been around the game that long, and you never find anybody with a bad word to say about Joe Thornton.
No.
And it's just it's impressive. It's a great reputation that he's built up. And I want to go from talking about him to a guy who's just getting started in his pro hockey journey, Anton Lundell. And he drew a ton of praise when you drafted him not long ago. And that praise has just continued to surround him as far as his overall game's concerned. And you described him as a cerebral player. And especially for forwards, it seems like there's a ton of guys with that raw skill, and that's what makes him a high draft pick. But for a guy his age, and we can still call him a kid, I guess, but for somebody his age, to be able to think the game and see the game and process the game the way that he does, is that a rare skill set?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. There's not a lot of players at that age who are able to do it at that level. That's one of his strengths, certainly, is that he's responsible defensively and he has great instincts. And, I think, look, I understand that it's our job, and you know, we have to sell the game, and Anton, we have to be a little patient with him too. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make errors, and that's where Joel is in our coaching staff is so valuable, not only to our team but to him, and bringing him along the right way, and it's very, very helpful to have that level of experience guiding him. So it's not lost on us, and it's not lost on him either. So it's helpful.
And going from Anton to his current roommate, Alexander Barkov, which is just how much do you love that dynamic?
It's very, very helpful.
Going from Anton to Barky there, when you first got this job and you were projecting ahead and looking at your charts and numbers and figures, where was the Barky extension on that list, even, you know, going back to last year when you got here?
Well, even before I had the job, you look at you go into interview and you say, okay, well, this is going to expire. This is going to need to be addressed, right? It's paramount. That's a franchise player, and it needed to be addressed and needed to be considered immediately, and we did.
And on that, looking around the league, it's so hard in any sport to find, you know, the total package. Some guys are elite offensive talent. Some guys are defense. Some guys are right in the middle of both. But it seems like Barkey is kind of as close to you can get in a lot of ways to the total package. Do you see it that way?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so much more, right? Because their size, mm-hmm. their speed, strength. And then it all really pales in comparison to the person, right? So mm-hmm. who you have in the room, who's a leader, who's a real leader, right? Mm. And there's nothing phony. Everything is sincere. Who's bold, who's also considerate. We're I've said it so many times, and I won't get sick of saying it, you know, who we're blessed and lucky. So it's great. It's an honor to have them on our team, and it makes our job that much easier, and it makes it that much harder at the same time, because there's that much more responsibility, because we feel like we have an extra level or an extra debt. If he committed to us, then we have to make sure that we do everything.
And during that press conference, when Barkey was kind of going through, you know, why he, you know, made this decision, you know, obviously it was the team, it was the organization, it was seeing things on that upswing. But he also talked about just hockey in general growing down here. And he's been here for this ninth season. He's seen it grow from then till now. You're also getting in here, you know, in the more early stages of this wave upward. But from, you know, what we saw in the playoffs last year, that was maybe the loudest 9,000-10,000 fans I've ever heard that could get in the building. It just seems like things are really starting to take off. Just how excited are you to be kind of on that upswing here at the early stages? And just, have you sensed it yet? Did you sense it build from when you got here?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit. It's hard for me because I wasn't here before that. And it's a little humbling. Like, I don't know that it's really right to mm-hmm. align me with any of this, right?
Yep.
Like, I think it's Barkey, right? I don't think we belong in the same sentence. But it's fun to watch. Yeah. You know, like coming from Wisconsin and the north where I grew up, to see hockey grow and through the kids, mm-hmm. to see the excitement. And actually, there's like a little boy where we live who doesn't skate. And then my son said, oh, do you want to skate? So we got him skates. And they all want to come try. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun. Just maybe on the romantic side that, hey, more kids can play and enjoy the game. And then we can keep expanding and growing it. Because it's an awful lot of fun to be around, whether you play or watch or that's the neat part, I think.
I know Doug and I always love, we're always wearing our Panther gear everywhere. If we get to go Panthers out in public.
It's been happening a lot lately, too.
It's been happening a lot more lately, I will say.
It was like I said in the press conference, like when in the playoffs and the guy at the checkout counter said, you know, good luck tonight. I was like, huh? And it was in my, you know, my daughter was with me and she was like, huh? Do you know that guy? I was like, no, I don't know that guy. And it was the only time, right? Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, that's where we were at the time. It was, we were right in the midst of the Tampa series. But it's so exciting to think what can be accomplished. And the building too, right? Mm-hmm. It's loud. It's a beautiful building. So
inside and outside the building, you certainly sense that buzz around town is really picking up. I wanted to get a sense from you. You've had now a season under your belt working with Joel Quenneville, and I just wanted to get a sense from you what it's been like for you to work alongside, you know, one of the great coaches in the history of the sport.
It's been like going to hockey university. And for me, obviously, you come in. Three-time Stanley Cup winner. I was like, well, pretty much better not say anything for a while, which is hard for me to do. And I listened and listened and listened. And we started, 6-0? So that made it easy, right? And then we got off to we only lost, 14 games all year? Because it was pretty, you didn't realize, there was never a lot to say, right?
Yeah.
But you kind of watch and you see the method to... You see the methods and you watch and you learn. And then I started to be, you know, I'm asking questions. Why'd you do that? And you realize how he goes about his business and gets the most out of the guys, and the patience or his ability to revisit a player and or motivate him in a certain way and get the most out of him or make an in-game change, right? And play this guy with that guy and see things that I didn't see. So it's been a great education for me.
As we look ahead here, I mean, how much does it mean to be, you know, have the conventional hockey calendar kicking off this year and to be starting hockey when we're all used to starting hockey here in the fall like this?
Yeah, it's really, really exciting, isn't it? It's just kind of like...
Feels right.
You don't want... Yeah, it feels right. And it's... that, I can say, is exciting. That part is sort of like, is it real? You know? And... But we also, too... It's a little sobering to think about what we've been through and just think about those who've been impacted by this virus and our really the whole world and certainly our country and state and the people like oof. So we need to move forward but also reflect a little bit and be mindful, right? That it's not over and we have to be careful. So, yeah.
And last one from me here. I know you're a busy man. You're getting ready for a hockey season. But are the Brewers still your baseball team? You keeping an eye on the playoff series at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think my dad's going. Yeah. Yeah.
Love Miller Park.
So, absolutely. I love it.
Well, Bill, thanks very much for stopping by. Great to have you on the show. And, again, we can't wait to sit down with you again sometime. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Huge thanks to Panthers general manager Bill Zito for taking some time out for us. Very generous with his time. Gave us nearly 20 minutes there and a guy that we could talk hockey with for hours and hours and hours on end. So, again, big thanks to Panthers general manager Bill Zito for taking some time out for us and already can't wait for the next time that we get to have him on the show. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. But so many things that we're able to cover there that we're able to take away. Again, love getting the sense from him for the impacts that guys like Joe Thornton and Patrick Hornquist have and can continue to make on this group, getting a feeling from him on some of the young players and on Barkov and how it's been working with Coach Q. So many different things that we were able to cover there during that conversation. And, you know, perhaps the part of it that everybody is thinking of the most is the fact that, you know, here we are ready to start a conventional 82-game hockey season on the calendar that we have all grown to know and love over the years. It's the fall. It's time to start playing hockey. That's what we're going to do. We're excited. He's excited. Great chat there.
Yeah, no, Doug, it was. And I think the fun thing is how many laughs we have with Bo. We laugh a lot.
We're funny.
I don't think we're funny. I think maybe he's laughing at us. No, I'm kidding. But I think, you know,
probably.
It really is. Thanks, Katie. I know it really is just such a fun time of year. And we all are just so, you know, just ready to get going, ready to watch some hockey. Because like you said, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, in this business, you work long hours. But the reward is just being around hockey, watching hockey, and just being a part of, you know, this great big picture. So, you know, big thanks to Bill. Can't wait to get him back on the podcast. First time he's been on the show officially since the day he was hired.
His
introductory press conference. I think that was around 13 months ago. So
wow.
We're not going to wait that long the second time around. But, yeah, like I said, looking forward to getting him back on the show here in the near future.
Yeah, it was a great chat there. Big thanks once again to Bill Zito for stopping by the program. Time now for something we teased off the top of the show, and that is the prediction segment, which we bring Katie Gause onto the podcast a lot. And the prediction episodes...
It's my favorite.
Katie, it's one of your times to
shine. She's a ringer.
The prediction episodes, yes. And I don't know that for sure because we haven't gone back to last year's predictions. I didn't come into this having reviewed last year's predictions at all. Jameson has some data there.
Yes.
He did some digging. So we're going to look at those before we make our predictions for this year. But just so everybody knows, the categories we are going to talk about in the prediction segment, we are going to touch on who we believe will be the Panthers' leading scorer, the biggest surprise. We're going to make a bold prediction, and we are going to make a prediction, a hypothesis, if you will, an educated guess as to who we see as the top three finishers in the Atlantic Division. And we are getting back to our regularly scheduled programming as Atlantic Division enthusiasts. We are getting back to that, all the teams that we have come to expect the Panthers to play on a night-to-night basis for the most part. They're all going to be back and playing each other again this year. So I know we're all excited to see those battles reignite. But let's get to the review of last year. We'll touch on last year's, then we'll get into the fresh predictions. Jameson, what do you have over there in the data department? You're a math guy usually, but now you're handling the archiving side as well.
Yes, I went back and listened to the old episode, dug up some of these predictions, and
dug them up.
Some correct, some wrong. We're going to go through the ones that we got to kind of build some confidence here heading into these new predictions.
We need confidence just as much as the guys on
the these ice. Are a couple of us that were smart. You know, we missed on a lot of these, but we'll go for the correct predictions last year. And the odd thing is last year we didn't do leading scorer prediction. We did MVP prediction. And that's why I changed it this year, because that's there's too much wiggle room there with
well,
that.
Well, I think MVP, didn't I, like, create a new category?
Well, so let's go through
you
that
You did invent
quick.
A category.
So
I remember that happening.
I predicted Barkov, and of course he won the Selke and second on the team in scoring. You can safe to say he's the MVP. But then Doug had Jonathan Huberto, led the team in scoring for the second straight season. You could say he's the MVP. And then Katie Gauz broke the rules and picked most valuable personality, and she picked Patrick Hornquist, and that was spot on, too.
Yes.
So she broke the rules, but she nailed it.
Yep.
But because there's not really a wrong answer out of those, is why we changed it to leading scorer this season. But, you know, I guess stick tap to us for doing well in the team MVP last year.
Most valuable Plagans
is always you.
I don't have a lot of competition.
Biggest surprise was interesting because Katie Gauz picked Carter Verhaeghe. And I think at the time he was on the top line, so we saw the potential, but you really nailed it that he was going to break out. Of course, you know, 18 goals last year was a stud on that top line, so good job, Katie. Mine was not correct, but Doug, Owen Tippett was an interesting one because he was gradually building up throughout the season, but then he, you know, took off in the playoffs.
Had we played 82 last year, he put together a final six or so weeks worth of games that obviously the shortened season didn't provide us. It would have been interesting to see where things would have turned out for him had we played the full 82,
but
because the way he went into the playoffs, like a freight train, it was something to see, and we've seen that carry over into the preseason here
it
this
has.
Year.
And but because of that, because I'll say at that time in January when we made these predictions, if we would have heard that Owen Tippett was going to be on the second line in the playoffs against the Lightning, you know, putting up a ton of points, that'd be a surprise.
Yeah,
so I'm going to give that to you.
That one counts.
I'm going to give that to you. These are season-long predictions. It's not
That's
who's the biggest surprise in the first
scenario.
Month of the
you
season.
Just, you hit, yeah, thank you.
And then going to the bold predictions, I was robbed again because it was the second year I made this prediction. Aaron Ekblad finishes top 15 in Norris voting.
Which he would
have.
Finished top three, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so I'm going to semi-give myself
credit
for that.
I'll give half credit for that.
Yeah. Katie Gauz and Anthony Duclair getting 50 points. Ended up with 32.
Okay. So,
and he did miss some time to injury.
Yeah, that's true.
So
probably could have sniffed 50 if it was a full 82. So
yep.
That was a pretty good prediction.
Thank you.
And then the last one we had, Doug was not correct on his bold prediction. The next one we have was the standings prediction, which I actually was pretty impressed by, although I don't think it was difficult just looking at the preseason.
Right.
But all three of us had, of course, the Lightning, Hurricanes, and Panthers in the top four of the Central Division.
Yeah.
But we all had the Blue Jackets fourth. And that was our swing and miss.
Wow.
Because, of course, it ended up being the Predators.
Yeah. Blue Jackets were a little bit further down, I think, too.
Yeah, but I will give the extra stick tap to Doug, who did have the Hurricanes finishing first.
There you go.
We all had them second. So, Doug, the prediction master, I think overall...
I'm pretty good.
You might have done the best, I think.
I mean...
Yeah, but...
I'm surprised.
You're the biggest surprise.
I'm the biggest surprise.
Wow. But that was last year, Doug. This is this
now
year.
It's a new year.
This year is all about getting 100% correct predictions, which is what we're going to do here today.
If you're not first, you're last.
And once again, we did not
Patches
go...
Patches O'Houlihan.
We did not talk about this beforehand, and last year it worked out because we didn't overlap any predictions. This year, who knows, maybe we have some overlap. But let's just kick it off right away. Leading scorer for the Panthers this season, the season of 21-22... Who's it going to be, Doug Plagans?
Leading scorer for the Panthers this season, I'm going to say, I'm going to throw out a little sidebar to this.
You always
one.
Have sidebars and
yes,
caveats
I do.
And things.
I think Jonathan Huberto for a third straight season is going to lead the Panthers in points. I do, however, think that we are going to see a 40-goal season from Alexander Barkov this year.
That is a sidebar. That's not the question, Doug, but we'll take your job.
I probably should have saved that for my bold prediction.
So your answer is Jonathan Huberto.
Yes, Jonathan Huberto, I believe, will lead the team in scoring.
Points. Complicated.
Points.
Art
Katie,
Ross.
Katie does have a little sheet of paper she's reading off of with glasses.
Yes.
Give us some crinkle. Let's hear the paper. This is an immersive podcast now.
Yes. Feel the paper. All right. Well, Doug kind of tried to steal mine, but I am going with leading scorer Alexander Barkov. Coming in, fresh new contract extension, feeling good after the Selkie, and he's got Reinhart now on that line, along with Verhaeghe, who we already know they match great. I just think there's going to be a lot of apples. I just think there's going to be so many apples. An apple a day, right?
A whole orchard.
I think all of those assists are just going to put him over the top, and I think that we're just going to see, if not first, very close to the leader on this team. I have a lot of faith in Barkov, which we always do, but I don't know, something about this year feels like could be it.
I am going to piggyback off Katie's prediction and say that I, too, think it's going to be Alexander Barkov, but I also have a mini caveat, but it's at least tied into the guest itself. It's not Doug just going off into outer space over there.
That's what I do oftentimes.
I think he will lead the team in scoring, and I think it will be the first 100-point season in Panthers history. Because let's not forget, Barkov a couple years ago, 96, the current franchise record. I think he's going to hit 100 on the nose, 100 on the nose this season.
Love that.
For Alexander Barkov. Because you had to pick a guy that's on PP1, which he is, and you had to pick a guy that's going to play a ton of minutes, which he's going to. Mm-hmm. So I think the stars are aligning for a 100-point season.
And PK, a couple shorthandered, goals in there.
Yeah. Situations. It's about opportunity. And he has opportunity in every situation all over the ice, and he's going to pick up a ton of points. 100-point season for Alexander Barkov.
So there are the scoring leader predictions for the upcoming 21-22 season. Jameson, for the next one, shall we go
Let's
on
go biggest
to
surprise.
Biggest surprise.
And Katie, you got the paper. You can lead us off with this one.
All right. According to
surprise us.
It's also, you should also start because you did pick Carter Verhaeghe last season, so you are currently 1-for-1.
Yes. Well, this surprise, similar to, I feel like, every surprise, is a surprise, but is it really a surprise?
Well, that's what these surprise picks are. The bolds are always bold.
Yes.
Surprise is always a little.
I'm going Owen Tippett, and I think Doug kind of touched on it just a moment ago, where he talked about how much momentum he was picking up towards the end of last season. He brought all of that and then some into this camp, having a great camp. He looked stronger, but he still got the speed, which, as we know, it can be a hard balance when you're a player adding muscle without losing any of that speed. He hasn't. His elite shot is, always present. And again, we've seen that already throughout the preseason. He's getting that second line opportunity right out of the gate, somewhere that he had to kind of work his way up to last year. He's starting there now. It's his spot to hold on to. I have a lot of confidence and excitement. I just, when you're watching a game, you can't miss him. And that's something to me that, when a guy is standing out on a nightly basis, it's got to stand for something. And so I think Owen Tippett going to be the
surprise. So just in general, just he himself is going to be
I just think that
season.
He's going to be, I wasn't really aware that I had to be more specific.
Well, give us a number. Throw it.
There's no wrong answers.
You
here.
Want numbers.
Just give us
it.
Just throw it out.
I'm not a big numbers
spot.
Guy.
You have glasses on. Come on.
I'm the only one here without glasses at Territory Talk, by the way, to paint the picture.
What was his stats last year? Do we know?
I think he had, 8 goals?
Do I need to wear glasses the next time we do one of these episodes with all three of us? All right,
then I'm going 20-plus goals.
I'm going to the computer right now for this one. Hopefully people can hear my typing. Owen Tippett last season had 7 goals, 11 assists, 18 points in 45 games.
Okay, so then I think I feel pretty comfortable saying he's going over 20 goals.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable.
For me, that depends on how many minutes PP2 gets.
Yeah,
because some games they just
but
PP1
just,
plays like 130 of that 2
he's
minutes.
He's been just making the most of all of his time on the ice lately, and if he keeps doing that, then he's going to get opportunity. So
and you're on a line with Jonathan
maybe
Huberdeau.
It's a little bold.
I'm with you. I think
and Bennett. I mean, those guys have found a lot of chemistry just on their own. Add Tippett to the mix. I think he's going to benefit from a lot of that. So.
You're going to get that right. I think you're going to get that right.
So I want to go next because mine's kind of connected to Katie's.
Okay,
they're on a line together. My, surprise, and this is a surprise.
It's a surprise.
I'm going to say Sam Bennett, in his first full season with the Florida Panthers,
all right,
gets at least 60 points.
I like
Ooh.
It.
And that's, I don't think that's bold enough based on what we've seen.
To go in the bold category.
To go in the bold.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it would be a surprise just given the fact that his career high is 36 points. So I'm saying that plus 24.
That's a lot.
For Sam Bennett. So it's going to be a big statistical jump for him. But just given the fact that he is on PP1 right now, he is the second line center. He did, light it up with the Panthers last season when he got here. I think 60 points is surprising but realistic. I think Sam Bennett could get 60 points this
season. I think it's going to happen. He's going to come in here this season.
You're just here to
He's a hype guy right now. I love this.
He has the most defined role that he's ever had in the National Hockey League, and that was the story from day one when he arrived with the Panthers, and I think that alone, you could tell how much he fed off of that. I think coming into the year, playing with a couple of skilled players like Jonathan Huberdeau and Owen Tippett, I don't see
pretty
any
skilled guys
that can
happen.
I think it's going to happen.
Decent.
My surprise, it's not a surprise player. Tell me if the can my surprise.
No, it can be anything.
Oh.
It can be anything.
Okay,
this is my surprise.
Okay. Yeah.
Aaron Ekblad's going to score 20 goals this year.
That is a player
from the back end.
Yeah. He's a person.
And again, it's just not something you see every day. A defenseman scoring 20 goals. But I think it's going to happen this year. I think Aaron Ekblad's going to score 20 goals. And again, had last year been a full 82, and had he not been injured last year,
he was on that.
Could have been on that
path. Because he had 11 in 35 games last year.
Yeah, so I was going to say that he had a lot.
He would have got around 25.
I think we're going to see a 20 plus goal season out of Aaron Ekblad this year.
His career high is 16 back in 17-18. So he's gotten close. Mm-hmm. Why not?
And I think that's going to happen this year.
And he got
especially on that top unit.
Yeah, this is his first time kind of being the number one D on the PP1.
I don't have it off the top of my head, but every year, one, two defensemen sniff that 20-goal plateau? Doesn't happen every year. I think he's going to join that club this year.
So once again, these are all a little bold, but not too bold that they're crazy, and that's why they are
And they're not in the bold category.
They're not.
The bold category.
Now I feel like my bold one isn't even bold enough, but
I'm starting to wonder about my
bold
boldness.
My bold one's very particular, so do you want me to start with the bold?
Yeah,
yes,
Kella, I'm
Jameis,
curious.
Okay. Take it away.
I feel like I'm setting the bar in a weird place for my bold prediction.
Where's the bar?
My bold prediction this year is that Anton Lundell will finish with a better...
He's finished.
He is finished.
Yes.
He will win more than 55% of his faceoffs this season. 55%. And you're going to say, Jameson, that's a weird prediction. What does that even mean? And I'm going to tell you what it means. I think Anton Lundell is an exceptional guy in the faceoff circle. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a lot, you know, in the World Championships, the World Juniors. During the rookie tourney, he was dominant. Of course, that's against younger guys. But I really like what he does in the faceoff circle. And so I had to pick a number. I'm like, what number would be a good benchmark number for this to be bold? And I think 55 is the number because last season on the Panthers, Alexander Barkov led the team with 54.9. So that's really, really good territory. And when you factor in how guys come into the league, Barkov was winning around 48% of his draws as a rookie. So that's one of the bigger adjustments rookies have to make is suddenly going up against, you know, elite guys in the faceoff circle and winning draws. So this is definitely a challenge, and that's why I'm saying it's bold. Last season, Patrice Bergeron led the league with 62.3%, so he's just in another atmosphere by himself. But for a rookie center to come in and win 55% of their draws in the NHL at 20 years old, I think that's a very bold prediction, and I'm confident. I think there's a chance, but it's definitely bold in my book, and I'm rooting for Anton.
I think it can happen, and here's the part to piggyback off.
But it
of
is bold.
It is bold. I'm not doubting the boldness. Because for a guy coming in fresh to the National Hockey League, again, the faceoff circle, that's where experience, one of the areas where experience pays off the most. And that's why you see the list of guys who
the
always...
The numbers go up, always,
yeah, and the list,
with experience.
And the list of guys that always rank in the top 5 or 10, it really doesn't ever change. And that's...
And it's rarely ever young guys. It's usually always guys in their
Patrice
early 30s
Bergeron,
because they've been
Jordan
doing it for
Stahl,
so long.
Jordan Stahl, Luke Glendening.
Yeah.
It's these guys that have been around for a while that just learned the tricks of the trade. Yannick Perreault.
A little gamesmanship.
Yannick Perreault played
forever.
Know
what you can get away with.
Yes.
That's the thing. Like, Anton's probably not going to come in here and try to trick the ref on a couple of things. He doesn't know that gamesmanship yet. He's going to try and do it the right way.
But he's
still going to win over
55. To use the term again, it's a cerebral part of the game. Yeah. There's a lot of thinking involved. There's a lot of positioning involved, a lot of reaction involved. And that's why the guys that develop a knack for it, they are the same guys that have a knack for it for a long time. And that's why you always see the same names at the top of that list of face-off percentage leaders. But if Anton Lundell can even win over half of his face-offs at this stage of his career, that means that if the trajectory, one of our favorite words here on Territory Talk, if trajectory continues the way that we believe it can, by the time he's 25, 26 years old, he's going to be a 58 to 60% guy in the faceoff circle.
And that's the thing. If he wins 50,
you always get
50%
better.
As a rookie this season, that's a standing ovation. That's an amazing job. People need to know how big that 5% jump is to go from 50 to 55.
Yep.
It's huge.
That's what,
prediction.
You're here to tell them.
Yes.
That's why it's so bold.
Okay. Well, I
important
feel like
statistic.
I feel like my bold was a weird one.
It's
so let's
okay, Doug, go.
Get us back to normal here, Doug.
So I was thinking about boldness, as I often do, being a bold individual.
Man. Yes.
And I was thinking, huh, last year, Mackenzie Weegar had 36 points.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
I'm 36 years old. Oh. A lot of folks tuned in out there might think, I thought that guy was like 75 the way he acts. But no, I'm 36 years old.
18.
Based on everything we know about this man, he is 70 years old.
Yes. So thinking about those two facts, I thought, I think this year Mackenzie Weegar is going to outscore my age. But then I went a few better. And I said, this year, Mackenzie Weegar, going off of the fact that I believe his projected defense partner, Aaron Ekblad, is going to have a 20-goal season.
Hmm.
I think Mackenzie Weegar is going to average a half a point a game this season. I think we are going to see a minimum 41 points in the 82-game season. Should he hopefully play all 82 games, I think we are going to see a half point a game average from Mackenzie Weegar this season over the amount of games that he plays this
and
year.
And I agree that's bold because right now he's not on either power play unit, so it's all going to be at even strength where he led all defensemen in scoring last year.
But he's just always in the middle of things.
He is. He's always got the puck on his stick. He's always doing something, especially like you say with Ek back there now. They're going to be a dynamic pair, but if he's getting 41 points, in my mind, 38 of those are coming at even strength, which is totally doable, but that's why I agree, Doug. That's very bold.
Bold. That's what I do over here. I handle the boldness department.
All right.
Katie,
no pressure.
Last one on the bold department.
Well, you might be thinking to yourself, maybe this isn't bold. Maybe it's not possible. Who knows? But according to my paper, Spencer Knight is going to win the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year.
That's definitely bold.
And you might be thinking, how bold?
But I've read that
And
elsewhere.
I'll tell you.
People are writing about
I've
that.
I've seen it. Yeah. But how bold, you say, hasn't been done since 2009. Steve Mason, Columbus Blue Jackets. So, I mean, it's not super common for
a goalie that is very bold.
To win. So, it is bold. That's what I'm going with. I just really like Spencer Knight. So, any chance I get to pump his tires and say that he's going to do amazing things.
Well, he's going to have opportunity. And that's all it takes to win the Calder. That's the problem. Some top-tier talents coming to the league and maybe they're
playing. He's going up against, from the projections of who he could be facing for this, his two former teammates, Cole Caulfield and Trevor Zegras. So, we'll...
And that's the hard part, because both those guys are going to be in the top six of their respective teams.
And they're going to have power play guys every night.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to have opportunities, but if Spence can play, just a good amount of games and do what he does, he'll be right there.
I think it's...
That's
bold,
but it's bold.
Harder for a goalie. It's not as flashy.
No.
But
the good thing is he's already coming into the season with buzz, and when you have buzz off the bat, people like to keep buzzing.
They've got him second to Caulfield and Zegras behind him as of some of the things that I've seen so far. So
you've researched.
Yeah, I maybe saw a few tweets about it. But
A couple tweets.
But
I think all
those. I had
are
to
bold.
Do the research though on when was the last time that a goalie actually did win this, and it has been a while.
I think that's bold. I think all of our predictions are good and bold, and I look forward to revisiting them next year. But one last prediction left, Doug.
One more category for the prediction department.
Last year, because of how things were, the top four teams in the divisions made the playoffs, so we did top four. Mm-hmm. This year, we're back in just the Atlantic. Top three teams automatically make it. Then, of course, you have the wild card. But we're not going to get into the wild card. We're just going
top three teams in
the Atlantic Division. We haven't seen a lot of these teams in a long time. Doug, you want to start?
Top three in the Atlantic Division?
Yes.
I'm going to say first place in the Atlantic Division, your Florida Panthers. Second place in the division, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. Third place in the division, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the reason I say that, I just think the Leafs are made. They have some things to prove in the postseason, but I think they're just a dangerous regular season team. They can score with the best of them, and night to night in the National Hockey League 82 game grind, that can carry you a long way. It's just going to be interesting to see with the Tampa Bay Lightning how they're able to offset the loss of that Yanni Gord, Barkley Goodrow, Blake Coleman line that served them so well. And the thing is, I will say, though, just because I say that I predict the Lightning finishing third in the Atlantic, they're still the team that is the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions that has the belt, and they are still the team to beat when it comes time for the playoffs, because the playoffs is a different animal and a different game. But I think that's how the top three shake out.
Katie Murray?
Well, I went so far as to even designate points because I was told that was part of the assignment and I was lied to.
or maybe I just didn't complete the assignment, in which case I'm going to get a
poor
grade.
That's more likely. All right. Top three Atlantic Division. I've got the same teams as Doug, slightly different order. I am going with, for the reasons that Doug just suggested with Toronto, I agree with you. They are a very good regular season team. They've got flash. They've got scoring. I do feel like they – I think they're going to be first. So I've got Toronto at number one. Gave them 109 points because I had to do some research. It's been a while since we actually had a full season to remember how many points do teams really end up with. So I'm going with 109, Toronto in first place. Coming in second place, your Florida Panthers, 105 points because, I mean – it was hard for me
to not
give them first. But I do think, just in terms of the regular season, I see Toronto slightly ahead. And then the Tampa Bay Lightning coming in at third because for all the reasons you just mentioned, despite some of the losses, they are still the defending back-to-back champs.
And Andrei Vasilevsky can still win them a game any night.
I mean, any night he's there, you know, they've got John Cooper back behind their bench who just signed an extension. So I've got Tampa coming in at 103.
Not to take any, one last point on that, if we're talking about the Tampa Bay
Lightning. Not to take anything away, Doug says, before he takes something away.
Yes, which is one more thing on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Andrei Vasilevsky, he's a workhorse. They don't shy away from running him out there as much as possible. But this season, especially with all the hockey that the Lightning has played the last couple of years and the deep playoff runs, I would imagine that they may try to give Andrei Vasilevsky a little bit more of a break from time to time than they have the last couple of years. That's why they brought in Brian Elliott. Brian Elliott, serviceable veteran guy, but not Andrei Vasilevsky. And I think that maybe in the process of lightening, no pun intended, lightening the workload of Andrei Vasilevsky this season, that may cost them a couple of victories at times if they keep his workload maybe more in the 50s in terms of as opposed to the 60s in terms of games played.
Yeah,
it's a good caveat. It's a good caveat there, Doug.
I'm the caveat man.
You are. okay, I'm gonna go, and I can't even. I mean, obviously we're more homerish than most. This is a Panthers podcast, but last season we all did pick the Panthers to finish third, so we didn't just jump out and say we're number one. We're number one,
which we are.
But this year, I'm gonna say we're number one and
a sweep.
Oh, so now you make me look like the bad guy.
82-0 for the Florida Panthers. No, but I do think they finish first. I do think they hover around 108, 109, 110 points. And the reason for that is just what we saw last year, where this team. The fact that they didn't lose two games in a row until 6 weeks into the season, they never had more than a three-game losing streak. It was that slump-free hockey that they played last year. If they can bring that back into this year over a full 82, they're going to be just fine, and they're going to be in position to win the division. So it's a tough division. It's going to be really tough to do that. They've only won the division, I think, twice in franchise history, so it would be a big achievement. But they're hungry. They're ready to go. They're just so deep. They could survive some losses throughout the season, which every team loses players throughout the season. Panthers seem built to survive. We talk about the depth.
The depth is unmatched in the Atlantic Division.
So that's why I'm giving, especially guys suddenly going back to a full 82. Maybe guys are gonna get a couple more muscle pulls than they used to. They got to readjust the bodies, and that's why I think all teams have to go deep down their bench. And the Panthers, I like their bench the most. Panthers first place for
and
me.
That's the point. I made this point, I believe, right here on this very podcast at some point in the last couple episodes, but I do believe the Panthers have the deepest roster in the Atlantic Division, if not the deepest roster in the Eastern Conference.
And when I say deep, I just mean NHL caliber players.
NHL guys.
Yes.
From
there's
top to bottom,
Nobody that is, if the Panthers have to call somebody up to fill a void at some point for one game, for 10 games, whatever, it's not going to be a stretch. It's going to be a guy that's ready and capable to play in the National Hockey League, and that's a big luxury for this team. So it's the deepest team in the division. As far as I'm concerned, the Panthers could field a fifth and a sixth line that could probably slot in on most teams and get regular minutes and be serviceable. So it's going to be a real luxury for this team moving forward into the season. I think that's going to serve them well. And for that reason also, I think that the Panthers are poised to finish first place.
But you didn't even finish the assignment.
I did. I said it was about 100 and...
No, you have...
I'm still going. We just kept talking about the Panthers.
Doug just interrupted you again?
No, you're all interrupting.
Doug interrupted.
I have the floor now. Number two, I'm going to say the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they'll finish maybe 5 or 6 points behind the Panthers. I think Panthers-Lightning are going to be the best matchups we see all season long. It's going to be fireworks. It's going to be great. The reason I still keep them there, like you said, they did lose a whole line plus a couple other players, key players. Yanni Gord, I hated playing against Yanni Gord. I'm so happy he's in Seattle now and the Panthers don't have to see a ton of him. But that's a big loss for them, as well as Coleman, Goodrow, like you said, Tyler Johnson,
Savard,
a staple of that team for so many years, Savard on the back end. So the list goes on for players, important players they lost, but The reason I keep them so high is the power play. When you have Stamkos, Kucherov, Hedman, all those guys on the power play. When you have Victor Hedman on the blue line, and I do like their decor. And number one, Vasilevsky. Still the best goaltender on the planet until somebody proves him otherwise and dethrones him. He's going to play a ton of games, like you said. And when he's not in there, I do think Brian Elliott's an upgrade over Curtis McElhinney. So they're going to be fine. They lost a lot of players, but they're the Lightning. They're going to be fine. They're back-to-back champs. Number two in the division. Number three, I really, 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 really wanted to pick a surprise here. And I was going to pick a surprise. I was actually going to pick the Detroit Red Wings.
Really?
To make a big jump this year. But Jacob Vrana got injured because he was a big part of that for me, was Jacob Vrana being healthy. Because I thought Nedeljkovic was a great pickup. Mort Sider is going to be in that Calder conversation.
Lucas Raymond's going to be in that Calder conversation.
Lucas Raymond.
Well.
I just felt like a lot of things were going to go right for the Red Wings this year. Exactly. I think he was in every year. I thought a lot of things were going to go right. Because, like I said, whenever we played the Red Wings last year, they gave 100%. They didn't have the best players, but they battled.
Hard.
They made some upgrades this offseason. If they battle that hard with those upgrades, I thought there was a chance they could magically get that three spot, but losing Jacob Vrana for as long as they're going to be out, lose him for, that killed my pick there. I can't give him to him now because he was great once he got there, but I got to take it away now. I still think they'll be competitive and they're going to be a dangerous team, but because of that, I got to give the Toronto Maple Leafs number three now, and I'm just not as big a believer in the Maple Leafs as other people are, just because, yes, all the talent in the world, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Nylander, the list goes on. They have so many good players, so many all-stars on that team. But this is another year where they're under, the expectations are getting heavier and heavier and heavier for that group.
Oh, no question, but that's regular season versus...
No, but even in the regular season, they got to be one of the best teams. And the expectations are, every year it's higher than ever. Well, this year they're higher than ever.
Yeah.
How do the guys respond? Do they just have their own TV show on Amazon? Did that affect them at all?
It is a good show.
I don't know. I still have to watch it. Maybe that would affect my pick if I did. But I think they're competing against a lot more than opponents this season. It's a tough market. Expectations are through the roof. Can they shut that out, or does that cost them some games here and there? Initially, I thought maybe it would, and the Red Wings would sneak in and everybody would be happy, but not anymore. Number three, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow, so you're just totally flipping mine.
Yeah.
Making me look real bad.
I actually am flipping yours. That's interesting.
Something else to keep an eye on this year, and this goes, it's sort of tied in with really everything, but last year, with the exception of the teams that were forced to scramble to play a lot of makeup games, because that did happen at times when you had some teams that had to postpone some dates, things like that. But for the most part, last year's schedule was very regimented because you went somewhere and played a team back to back. And the schedule, there wasn't a lot of, playing a team or playing a game on a Friday night while the other team was sitting there waiting for you to come in on Saturday to play a back to back. The things that we're used to seeing in the 82 game grind, you didn't have that as much. That's going to be back in the fold for this year. We'll see how it impacts the overall schedule. Also, before I get to my next point, Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Isn't it interesting to look at the Eastern Conference, the race that we project there to be for the top spot in the Atlantic? We've pretty much admitted we all believe the Panthers can win the Atlantic, but it's going to be a race. Yep. It's going to be a competitive race. You look at the Metro, and a lot of people are sold on the New York Islanders, but Carolina's there.
Yep.
Washington, the core is still there. They're going to be competitive. The Flyers, you expect there to be a bit of a resurgence there. It's going to be competitive in the Metro. But you look at the Western Conference, and I think the gap between Vegas and number two in the Pacific is going to be pretty big.
The NBA out there.
And in the Central, the gap between Colorado and who I would expect to be Winnipeg as the second best team in the Central is going to be pretty sizable. There are significant drop-offs. You look at the West, and barring something unforeseen or barring something, health-wise, you just feel like Colorado and Vegas are on a collision course already to play in the Western Conference final.
If somebody said,
in the Eastern Conference, it's much more of a race and much more up for grabs.
If somebody said, Jameson, pick 10 playoff teams this year, or pick 10 teams that could win the Cup this year, just 10 teams that could win the Cup.
Right.
7 out of 10 would probably be from the East for me.
Yeah.
The balance of power has really shifted to the Eastern Conference this year.
It has.
That being said, the top of the crop in the West.
The top two
is
in the West, those are juggernaut teams. But the East is much deeper.
More parity.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado is kind of, at least from the betting world, seems to be the standalone.
They are the favorite in Vegas
for
yes.
the Cup. So
the Golden Knights are the favorite team in Vegas, but the
favorite
as far as the local sports books are concerned.
But
yes, the Avalanche.
Everyone, those were our new predictions for the season. We'll go back and revisit those 1 year from now. Mark your calendars. I think we're going to get a good amount of them right. But we want to hear fans' predictions as well.
Yep.
Make sure to tweet us here at Territory Talk.
At Doug Plagans, at Jameson Coop, at Katie underscore Gauze. I'm not going to forget the underscore.
Doug jumped
this
at time. That because he wanted
He's
to show
good.
He didn't forget
I had to
the
show
underscore.
That I didn't forget good. That underscore, that pesky underscore.
But we got
underscore.
A couple days. We want to hear your predictions. You know, the puck's going to drop here Thursday, Doug, correct?
Correct. Thursday, the 14th of October, here in the year 2021, the Panthers and the Penguins for a 7 o'clock face-off at FLA Live Arena in Sunrise, Florida, where the zip code is 33323. We hope to see you out there. You can call 954-835-PUCK. Go to floridapanthers.com. Go to ticketmaster.com. Get your tickets, whether you want to go to one game or all the games by yourself or with all your friends. We can set something up that works for you. And hopefully this podcast worked for you, because if it did, you can come back and join us again next time. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you can find us here at Territory Talk. Huge thanks go out to Panthers general manager Bill Zito for taking some time out for us. Big thanks to Katie Gauze for stopping by the program once again. Mm-hmm. And a huge thanks to all of you once again for stopping by and for tuning in to this week's program. The next time you listen to Territory Talk, there will be regular season games that will have been played, three of them to be exact. Can you believe it? The next time we have an episode of Territory Talk, there will only be 79 games left in the regular season.
And there will be nothing but hot takes from everyone around the league, too. It's going to be great.
Everybody gets really excited after the first couple of games.
We will label everything we see after
Full
three
panic
games.
Buttons. Just the hypest of hype.
You're either planning the parade or you're pushing panic buttons for every team in the league, all 32, after three games.
After three games.
And there are 32 teams now.
That's another episode.
You know where we don't push the panic button? After 40 on the broadcast when Jameson Olive stops by.
At the disco?
Panic at the disco.
Yes. I wish we had time to get into bands, but that's another episode.
That's another time.
We went long today.
Should we?
Got to save some for next time.
We already told fans that we want their predictions, so there's no need for a special code word. So the code word is send us your predictions.
Send us your predictions, and keep in mind, every Friday, the Dear Doug mailbag, every Friday, send out your Dear Doug questions. They can be about whatever in the heck you want, so be sure to send those off and have some fun with it. Folks, that's it for us. Big thanks to Bill Zito for stopping by. Big thanks to Katie Gauze for joining Jameson and I on this week's episode, and a huge thanks to all of you for tuning in. I'm Doug Plagans for Jameson Olive, for Katie Gauze. This has been Territory Talk, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. For all your Panthers news and information, follow FLA Panthers on Twitter.